Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. One of the hallmarks of jazz is that its players know how to improvise. So it would seem that the idea of teaching improvisation is kind of a contradiction in terms.
Well, not so, says Mark Davis. He's a professor of jazz piano at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, a busy practicing jazz musician, and the author of the new book, The Hal Leonard Jazz Piano Method, The Player's Guide to Authentic Stylings. I met up with Mark Davis in one of the conservatory's practice rooms, and he talked about his career in music up till now.
You know, I've been teaching for quite a long time. I started teaching here at the Wisconsin Conservatory back in 1992. And so it's been, I guess, sort of a laboratory of experimenting of many different methods for teaching jazz. And I've, over the years, developed my own method for teaching, which is certainly based on other musicians that I've interacted with and people I've studied with. But I've come to a certain way of presenting the music and a way of getting students to be able to play authentic jazz. And so I felt it was time to put it into a book form and try and reach a larger audience. Fortunately, I had the opportunity through Hal Leonard.
Talk about authentic jazz. What does authentic mean to you? And when you are teaching students, what is the authenticity that you want them to attain?
When I use the term authentic, really what I'm referring to is playing in the tradition. Because jazz music is a tradition, it's a long history, not as long as the classical music history or other ethnic styles of music, but jazz got its start in the early part of the 1900s, and even from the very start, players like Jelly Roll Morton and James P. Johnson, Duke Ellington, these players were part of the beginning of a tradition that has extended up until today. And so jazz musicians still very much base their playing and their inspiration on players from the past. So I wanted to create a book that would introduce students to some of the techniques that have been used by many of the great jazz pianists throughout history.
So techniques like what, and what would make them different from, say, classical piano technique?
Well, of course, in jazz music, we're improvising. Well, certainly classical musicians of the past used to do a lot of improvising. Bach, Mozart, and others were, of course, great improvisers. But in today's music, jazz is the art form or the musical form that has really retained this tradition of improvisation. So that is a big part, of course, of the book, showing students, pianists, how they can go about creating solos, how they can go about improvising music.
It's funny because I think of improvising where you might have the key structure in mind, but the improvisational part is not something you can write down or necessarily practice. It's supposed to happen in the moment.
Well, I always try and make that point to students and as well as in the book. Sometimes I think the nature of improvisation is somewhat misunderstood. I think sometimes people think, well, if I'm improvising, that means I shouldn't have anything pre-planned. I should just wing it. Really, it's kind of just the opposite. It's, you know, as if you were going into a, you know, an adventure somewhere, a trip, maybe an unknown place. You'd want to be prepared. You'd do your best to prepare. You'd bring certain things along. You'd have certain skills that you would have ready to go in case of anything that might happen. So as an improviser, we want to be prepared. So that's what we practice. We practice being prepared for all kinds of different situations that come up. And so rather than in the case of some styles of music where we might work out one way to play a piece, the jazzy musician works out many, many, many different ways they might approach a piece so that at any given moment, I can go a certain direction one way or the other.
Can you give me a small example of what you're talking about? Like maybe the tune itself and then a couple of different ways you could go with it?
Sure. Maybe I should pick something that would be familiar to people. Over the Rainbow?
Sure.
Let's try that. And I'll do a little bit of the melody and then I'll move into some improvisation so that you'll be able to hear how I start moving away from what people expect to hear into something that's improvised. Thank you.
was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I obviously heard the melody the first time through, and then when you went through the second time, it's like the structure was still there. The chords
right.
of the song were still there. You could kind of hum the melody in your head over or under what you were doing, but you kind of just really had a lot of fun, mostly in the right hand in this case.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I encounter people that are a little mystified by jazz, and they wonder what exactly is going on. I heard the melody at first, and then suddenly it seemed like you weren't playing the tune anymore. Of course, that's the improvisation part. In many ways, jazz is like a theme in variations, where we play the song, and then we go into variations on the song, which might involve changing the harmony or changing the rhythm, or, like you mentioned, experimenting and changing the melody. I tried to refer back to the melody a few times, so maybe you could hear kind of where I was in the song, but at times I was playing, improvising melodies that were completely different than the original melody of the song. I mean, the basic form in jazz typically is that we would play the melody and the song pretty much how someone might recognize it right off the bat, and then we would repeat the song with these variations and then return at the end to the familiar melody. So like you say, it kind of brings things back home.
Do you find sometimes in jazz that you're also improvising into different keys? Are you going around depending on the song and what you're trying to do? Or is that beyond what you're trying to do in this book?
Well, the book is certainly geared towards someone who plays the piano but perhaps has never played jazz before or doesn't know much about it. Although within the approximately 100 pages of the book, it gets fairly advanced, and I think someone could spend quite a bit of time working out of this book, maybe several years even. And in fact, I should probably practice out of the book myself, because there's really no end to any aspect of improvisation or jazz. There's no end to where we might take a particular concept. We can keep going with it. So some of the things you mentioned, like playing in different keys, changing keys, are certainly elements of the book, learning how to transpose and whatnot. And some musicians will play a song and then change keys sort of midstream. But, you know, sometimes that is a more advanced kind of technique.
When you are teaching these various things, like how to approach taking a melody and playing with it, what does the book show? Are you writing it out? Is there an audio part of it? How is it working?
Yeah, everything in the book, and there's, I think, 200 examples, and they're all recorded. I recorded them. Some of them are solo, and some are with a trio. I had a couple of my friends that are great musicians here in town, Jeff Hammond on bass and Dave Bayless on drums, record with me. And so we recorded all the examples. So someone who gets the book can listen to every musical example that is notated in the book. Learning to play jazz is very much like learning a language, which personally I never successfully did. But
music is a language.
It really is. And so some of the book is approached that way. I mean, there's certain basic elements that one needs to learn, but I get into the very specific vocabulary of jazz. Much of it, of the vocabulary in the book, and when I speak of vocabulary, I'm talking about musical vocabulary. So it might be a short phrase. It might be a four-note lick, something like that, that I would present to students and then show them how they can use that short little unit, that little melodic idea, almost like it's a word within a sentence. So by connecting some of these short little phrases, we can start creating longer lines, just in the same way we create sentences when we speak. So I might take that little lick, and I might combine it with a scale. So I started with a little scale, then went into the lick. Then I might have some other little phrase that I want to play. Perhaps it's... So I've got these two little ideas, and this one. And so I'm connecting those together using scales. Now I've got a longer line, kind of like a sentence, a whole phrase. And so that's really a lot of what the book focuses on, learning the basic scales, but then learning this vocabulary that one can use to start constructing these longer lines.
Do you find that pianists who come from a classical tradition have more or less difficulty dealing with improvisation? I mean, classical pianists are so used to reading the music.
Right. You know, and here at the conservatory, I have so many different kinds of students. We're a community music school. So I sometimes teach students who have no classical background. Some have degrees in classical piano. You know, certainly the technical aspect of learning to play the piano, learning the correct way, the classical approach to piano, is very, very useful and helpful. And it just depends on the person. Sometimes I encounter people who are kind of afraid to put the music away and play, start improvising, to play something other than what's written on the page. So sometimes I find that younger students are a little more open to that. They're not afraid to experiment a little bit and try something, because there's going to be a lot of things that people play when they start improvising that really don't sound very good. There has to be a lot of experimentation that goes on.
And a willingness to not sound good.
Exactly. The whole pursuit in my philosophy of teaching is not really to worry too much about how do I sound. It's about the process of learning to play this music, because frankly, most musicians aren't satisfied with how they sound. It's an endless pursuit. Even players like, I was just listening to an interview with Hank Jones, as you know, one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time. He lived into his 90s, and even late in his life, he was saying, I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting closer. I kind of think I know where I want to get to, but I'm not quite there yet. So even in his late years, he was practicing several hours a day and just trying to get to that point.
Do you think it helps musicians when they are approaching jazz and approaching improvisation to have a kind of a basic understanding of music theory and like chord structure and that sort of thing? Because then you don't have to think about where you are on the keyboard.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes people will ask me if I'm performing somewhere, and maybe they'll come up after and ask. They're a little curious how this music is being produced, and they ask if I'm playing by ear or do I have everything memorized. Those are certainly important aspects of playing jazz, is having certain things memorized and using your ears to be able to play certain things. But like you mentioned, Bonnie, really understanding how music is put together, the mechanics of it, the theory of it, is what enables a jazz musician to be able to create. So everything that we play as a jazz musician, we have an understanding of why we're playing it and what kind of place it serves within the music and how it relates theoretically in terms of the chords and everything that's going on around it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's cacophony, particularly if you're playing in a group.
Yeah, absolutely. And to purely rely upon our ears or to have everything memorized, well, first of all, to have everything memorized would not be jazz. We need to be able to create spontaneously and improvise. But to just use our ears and not have any understanding of what we're doing isn't quite enough either. We have to have the background. And so in the book, I do a lot of explanation of some basic theory, scales, chords, things that any pianist would need to know in order to play this music.
Do you find that it's helpful for pianists to be able to read chord charts, like guitar chord charts?
Absolutely. To read chord charts is essential. Jazz musicians often play from what we call a lead sheet. So it would just have the melody line, the part that you might sing, or that a horn player might play, or the right-hand melody that I might play. And then there are symbols for the chords. And so I need, as a jazz pianist, I need to know how to interpret those chord symbols. And that's one of the essential skills that a jazz pianist must know. And it's one of the things that I cover in the book.
Well, can you leave us with a little bit of something else that you might cover in the book and give us an example of what that might sound like?
Sure. Well, in the book, I do cover a lot about jazz harmony, learning to play chords, all the beautiful sounds that we can create. I don't cover all the possibilities, of course, but there are so many beautiful sounds we can create as jazz musicians with harmony, with chords. So I'm going to play something that has some beautiful harmony to it, something written by Duke Ellington, entitled Prelude to a Kiss.
Mark Davis is a jazz pianist, arranger, and professor at the Wisconsin Conservatory, and his newest book for Hal Leonard is called Jazz Piano Method, The Player's Guide to Authentic Stylings.
We spoke with Mark in a practice room at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music on Milwaukee's East Side, and he takes us out today with some Duke Ellington.